Today we are starting a new series called I Love Sundays. I love Sundays. Do you love Sundays too?
Yes.
Yes, give me an encouraging answer. For the next 5 weeks, I'm going to talk about why I love Sundays. And I really invite you to be reminded over and over that Sunday is meant to be the best day of your week. Then how can we get it started today? What about some statistics about religious practices of people in the United States? Pew Research Center is a non-profit, non-partisan American think tank. They call themselves a fact tank because what they do is to conduct surveys to provide demographic trends of the United States and of the world. So on the next slide, you can see a graph. According to their surveys conducted in 2018 and 19, 65% of American adults describe themselves as Christians when they were asked about their religion, which is down 12 percent points over the past decade. Meanwhile, the religiously unaffiliated share of the population, consisting of people who describe their religious identity as atheists, or agnostic, or nothing in particular, now stands at 26%, which is up from 17% 10 years ago. Another factor, as you can see on the screen, the reason why I put it on the screen, although those letters are very small, is because I didn't tell a lie to provide proof. So another fact is that a share of Americans who say they attend a religious service no more than a few times a year is rising, as you can imagine. This rise has been driven by a substantial jump in the group who say they never go to church. Today, 17% of Americans say they never attended a religious service, which is up from 11% a decade ago. One more thing that you can find here is the share of Americans who say they attend a religious service at least once a week is now 6% down for the same period of years, so now 31%. In summary, about 55% of Americans say they attend a religious service a few times a year or less, while 45% of Americans say that they attend a religious service monthly or more. Note that everyone in this 45% group is not Christians, right? And this is a national average. I feel here in Midwest, we have a lower percent than 45% for people who go to church Sunday morning monthly or more. Okay, then now, as you might have found this, I put a teacher for this series in the church newsletter this month. So a teacher was sharing an excuse that people said when they were asked why they skipped church on Sunday. And the one that I put out in the newsletter was this: my wife cooked bacon for breakfast, and our entire family smelled like bacon. Well, do you think it's acceptable? Well, bacon is Alma, right? That is welcome here. But I have more. As I found those things from the this month's Reader's Digest magazine. So, some other funny and yet quite plausible excuses for skipping churches include this. I bet you would like to hear more, right? First, we were out of peanut butter. Really? Yeah. We can provide peanut butter here as a fellowship. The church is too close to drive and too far to walk. And here, both of my girlfriends attend the church there. so I cannot go there. Hey, you might have other challenges. And here's a good one. The pastor is too attractive. When I see him preaching, I am distracted. And after I read this specific one to my family at a dinner table, Claire said, "Oh, that's true." Me, this happy dad and preacher, responded to her, "Oh, Claire, are you?" "Yes, because I'm too attractive." And Claire, being puzzled, and said, "What? I just said yes to the part, I am distracted during your sermon." Amen. Amen to what? But I have to say this. I should not make fun of every excuse for missing church. There are reasons that I, as a pastor and a fellow Christians, need to take seriously in good earnest. Yes, I read a report that helped me know better about people in Lodi and the surrounding community. In 2017, people in the zip code 53555 were asked to pick reasons for why they don't participate in a religious community. From a category about personal faith, 47% of the respondents said that religious practices are not relevant to their lives. This probably has a lot to do with another part of the survey research. It is that 62% of the people say that they feel religious people are too judgmental. This is not true with us here at Lodi United Methodist Church. I believe it. However, it is true that you and I have things to do for those who feel that they cannot trust church and its leaders. When the same group of people were asked to pick reasons from a category of personal life, number one reason for non-participation in a religious community was no time or less time available for it, 35%. However, isn't it true that people have time for what they choose to have time for? It's all about choice. Right? So, from the number one reason, which was no time for church, what can we say fairly is more and more people are choosing alternative to church. Right? Alternative. They make different choices. Then what? Do we hear that more and more people say that they are happy? They are getting happier? As they choose the alternative to church? Sadly, answer is no. More and more people are wondering why life is not working so well for them. Of course, it has things to do with the reality that we live in a world where the pace of life is killing us. Then I'd like to say that Sunday is a solution. It feels like we always have too much to do. Then I would like to say that Sunday is the best antidote for that. It seems like we always feel pressured. Then I do believe that God made Sundays as a relief for that. There seems to be never enough time for family or people we love or for the rest we need. Then God designated Sundays for that. Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus said, as you can see on the next slide, the Sabbath was created for humans. Humans were not created for the Sabbath. With so much going on in our world, it's easy to lose sight of what's really important, what really matters. God created Sundays as the cure for that. Yes, on Sundays in church, you can find, I hope, the rest that you need and recharge and recenter yourselves on what's most important for you to live a meaningful and fulfilling life. My hope and prayer or that you feel happy when you are coming to church. I hope and pray that you feel happy even when you think about this church, your church, the house of the Lord, just as King David did. In Psalm 122, King David began his song in these words, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And I feel I can imagine that David got excited when he was invited to church, invited to the house of the Lord, and all the way to the place he was happy and poppy, and all the way, and probably just as on the day when the Ark of the Covenant, the God's chest was brought in Jerusalem. King David, the day was jumping and dancing in his words before the Lord. Yes, we read the story in 2 Samuel chapter 6 when his wife Michal criticized him for dancing in a manner that was undignified to a king. David said to her that in God's presence he would dance more, celebrate before the Lord again and again. And he said that he would dance to God's glory more recklessly than this, and as far as I'm concerned, he said, I will gladly look like a fool as I worship God joyfully. Why? Why was David fired up about things that so many people are not turned up? What did he know and experience that many people don't know nowadays about worship and church? Did he know the benefits of a church attendance that sociologists of our day have found? He didn't know that, but he obviously experienced much of them. And you wonder what benefits of church attendance I'm talking about now. Yes, I came across a list of benefits of church attendance. Sociologists have found that those who attend the church regularly, as you can see on the next slide, first live seven and a half years longer than those who don't. Yes, some people, yes, say that they don't have time for church. And people, those who regularly attend the church, are 56% more likely to have an optimistic life outlook than those who don't. And sociologists have found that people who regularly attend the church are 27% less likely to be depressed. And people who seriously practice a religious faith are 35% less likely to get divorced, as they have higher average levels of commitment to partners, higher levels of marital satisfaction, less thinking and talking about divorce, and lower levels of negative interaction with the partners as they practice religious seriously as a couple. People who attend a church show better ability to manage time and achieve their goals. And applying it to youth, church attendance, hey youth, hear this. Church attendance has a direct effect on reducing deviant behavior, such as drug use, violence, and delinquency among at-risk youth, while church attendance is correlated with greater education aspiration. These are what the sociologists of our days have found through their researches. I share these things. Okay, please hear this. I share these things not to say that life goes well as long as you go to church regularly. No. I share these things not to say that if you don't worship God well, your life will become more miserable. No, I can't. But I do believe that there is a power in the name of Jesus, a power to give hope to those who are hopeless, a power to give healing to those who are hurting and suffering. Prosperity, which we heard from Isaiah today, as I truly believe that it belongs to God of all creation, I do know that practicing Christian faith has a power to make our lives turn for the bad. I hope and believe as you can experience this, you can be a witness to the power of the name of Jesus, a life-saving, life-transforming power. And I hope that you can be a witness, yes, to others. Looking back over my life and looking into my current life, I can say with my 100% confidence that if there had been no church in my life, if there had been no Sundays with Jesus in my life, I wouldn't have been here. I'm not simply saying that I wouldn't have become a pastor. I'm not sure, if I'm honest, what kind of life I would have been living thus far if there had been no church in my life. Yes, Sundays came in my life even after the weekdays, as the weekdays were spent with deep sighs, as I wished that I would rather die. Sundays came as always, even though my prayers had not been answered. Yes, on Sundays, God seemed to show His face to me and talk to me, but some many other Sundays, there was a sheer silence, and then my feeling in worship was dryness itself. However, I had never wanted to give up Sundays because the second to my life that I would give up was my faith. The faith that God never gives up on me. How do I know that it is true with God? How do I know that it is true that God would never give up on me? It's because of the surprise that God made on the Easter Sunday. The first Easter Sunday. Yes, you must be surprised at the selection of the gospel reading for today. It is not Easter Sunday, but you heard the Easter story this morning. Jesus was risen from the dead. That was the biggest surprise on a Sunday. The early Christians' experience of the resurrected Jesus were telling them that they were not forsaken. They were not lost. Yes, they watched the man whom they believed to be the Messiah die a gruesome death. Then grief, confusion, and fear must have consumed them. And many of us know those kinds of human experiences very well in our lives. But imagine their astonishment and elation when Jesus appeared to them alive again on earth, which started on the first Easter Sunday morning. Their eyes were opened. They understood, and on a whole new level, what Jesus had taught them. All their hopes and beliefs were confirmed, and their joy was overwhelming. They knew very well that this all had become now theirs because Jesus was risen from the dead. And the resurrection, as a promise, happened on Sunday morning. This is why we Christians worship on Sundays. And this is why I love Sundays. Because it is a day to honor Jesus for coming back from the dead to save my life, to give me life that is free from fear of death. And it is a day to claim and celebrate the gift of life that assures me that not death, but God has the last word. Yes, I love Sundays because of Jesus. Jesus changed death to life on the first Easter Sunday. And Jesus still changes lives on little Easter Sunday morning, which is every Sunday morning. Then you might say, or you might have heard people say, sure, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus, but I don't go to church on Sundays. I can get what I need for my spirituality on my own. If I want to increase knowledge of God's love, I know what to do. I can read the Bible alone. I can say a prayer in my room. Or I can take a walk in nature for meditation. Of course, you can worship God anywhere, at any time. I mean that God can be present anytime, any place. We also tend to believe that we can nourish our spirituality on our own. But it is hard. I almost say it is impossible to live a life that God intends and blesses for us without presence and support of a faith community. It is because we were created to live together. Notice this, God didn't create Adam only. God created both Adam and Eve, and God put those two persons in a community to live with and support one another. Then what about Jesus? Jesus formed a community with his friends and disciples and lived with them and worshipped with them. So, just as we were created to live with one another, we ought to worship with others in community. Community is indeed a central element of human life and our Christian faith. Here is one illustration. Okay, here's a story. A pastor was visiting one parishioner who had stopped coming to church at some point. Both of them were sitting by the fireplace, and the parishioner explained to the pastor that he had been doing his own church on Sunday mornings, and he said that it had been satisfying to them, to him. At one point during the visit, the pastor pulled one of the red hot coals out of the fireplace and set it on the hearth. And a short time later, while the other coals in the fireplace continued to burn to keep the room warm, the single coal that was taken out of the other coal of the hearth quit burning and died down. At the time, the pastor pointed to the stone. Now, it's just a stone. And said, this is what happens when we Christians choose to leave the faith community. When we are in isolation, only for a while, the fire of our faith continues to keep alive. Only for a while. What do you think? You might say, that's just a matter of time. I mean, no matter what, the fire will be gone eventually. That's true. However, think about which one lives more fully. There is a world of difference on it between being in a community and being separated from a community when it comes to living a life more fully. Yes, when we lose our connection with the church, our spiritual health starts to suffer from such a disconnection. I know that wherever there are people, there inevitably will be some problem, right? Right? Wherever there are people, there are problems. One of the biggest reasons people leave a church, and one of the easiest reasons people choose not to join a church, is because of a people. And it is also one of the worst reasons to walk away from a church. Listen, God never wants a church to be like a museum where nice, refined, and beautiful people would hang out. Rather, God would choose church to be like a hospital where healing happens and mutual support and encouragement are shared. Churches are not perfect. And that is the very reason why God loves churches so much. And churches are made up of imperfect people like you and me, right? Are you perfect? No. Good news is that just as we see in the Easter story, God is at work for healing and transformation. When a person enters into relationship with Jesus, God's Holy Spirit moves inside that person's soul and begins working on him or her from the inside out. And at the same time, as that person enters into the life of a faith community, God uses sermons, hymns, prayers, other worship experience, and the friendship and counsel of others to work from the outside in. That's the church. No perfect people need to apply. Only those who recognize their need of God's presence in their lives would recognize that church is something they need and they can make Sundays the best day of their week. Yes, we are different. We come respectfully from different places with a different personality, with a different preference, and with a different political and theological orientations. But here, we come together, meet together, and share our life together as followers of Jesus Christ together. My beloved Lord, my family and friends, are you? Or is it someone you love missing out on Sunday blessings because of a bad experience of a church person? Have you or have your loved ones given up the benefits of being a church, meeting together, worshiping God together, and increasing and being increased by others in church? One good decision, isn't it? To enjoy one of the greatest gifts from God, the gift of community, which we can call my church home, where I can experience God's presence and support from God's children. The needed one good decision is to decide to make Sunday the best day of your week. The key to great Sunday is not mainly the preacher or service or the organist, the pianist, or the people. The key is you. Make Sunday the best day of your week by investing your time and heart here. Let's not miss out on opportunities to make a deep and authentic friendship in Christ with one another on Sundays in a place where we call our church home. Thanks be to God.